Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, DA, I'm thirsty, man. Could you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, DA, what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
DA, what's the dealio? Permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, DA? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Good, have a good day. We appreciate you being with us. We're happy to be here every single weekday morning, 6 until 10 Eastern Time, 3 until 7 Pacific, on the ever-expanding CBS Sports Radio Network. And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need an expert to help navigate the home loan process, Rocket can. How we doing, everybody? Thanks so much for joining us. A grand Target Demo Friday to you. As always, the DA Show is heard on hundreds of affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Also on Sirius XM Channel 158. And you can listen to us as well on your phone. Use the free Odyssey app or the free CBS Sports app. And you are good to go every single morning, 6 until 10 Eastern Time, 3 until 7 Pacific. Coming your way this hour on the show, in 20 minutes, we have your sound check, your best audio of the day. In 40 minutes, Mraz goes up the gut with his NFL picks and the always undefeated football food of the week. Last night, Bills and Patriots, the Pats waving the white flag, winners 24-10. I never saw it before. I never saw a team give up down by only 17 points. It was as though 17 was 37. And maybe the way the Patriots offense has played, maybe that's what it felt like. Maybe that was the figurative reality. But as I was just saying, for Belichick to be known as this wizard of X's and O's, and for the Patriots to be the bullies, don't we see what has happened here in the AFC East? The Patriots were really good as the bullies. They were really good when they were in everybody's head. They beat everybody on the block. And that the Jets and the Dolphins and the Bills all had a circus of bozo head coaches and a Ferris wheel of poor quarterbacking. And that's when the Patriots beat you down, put you on the turf, and pounded you. Like a Christmas story. Getting the bully on the ground, though, as the Jets and the Bills and the Dolphins have, now it's just swing and swing and swing and swing and swing. I know the Jets went 0-2 this year, but the Jets have built a formidable team. And when they finally get through to the Bills and they finally break that glass ceiling and they finally beat the Patriots, I should say. They're going to swing and swing and swing and swing. Bloody that dude's nose, because that's what the Bills are doing now. Since Brady retired, three seasons, they've played seven times. Right? No, six times, because they played two-year one, two-year two, three-year two, rather, and now won this year. The Bills have won 5 of 6, and the only game they lost to the Patriots was the 50-mile-per-hour wind game last year in Buffalo. So unless you're going to have gale force breeze come through your stadium, the Bills are going to beat the Patriots and beat them bad. So much so that the Patriots gave up. Never saw it. I never saw the bully go whimpering into the night so easily. And if we want to talk about Belichick versus Brady and who was more significant in the excellence, oh boy, this is pretty glaring. This one's pretty glaring. When Brady is there, they absolutely own the Bills. The moment he leaves, they can't beat the Patriots, or they can't beat the Bills, rather, unless there's 50-mile-per-hour tornado winds. Now, Chiefs and Bengals is an interesting game this weekend, because let's remember last year in the AFC Championship game that the Chiefs had already been crowned a third straight Super Bowl appearance, and they were hosting the Cinderella underdog Bengals at Arrowhead, and then jumped out to a 21-3 lead, had a 21-10 lead this game at halftime, and ultimately lost in OT. It was a remarkable run by the Bengals through the playoffs last year, and nearly ended with a Super Bowl championship. But again, this year, the Chiefs are the standard of the AFC and maybe the standard of the NFL in general, and the Bengals have a chance to pop one of their tires. And I think this game is fascinating because if, and it's a big if, but if the Bengals can pull the trick again, that it would suggest that the Bengals have a certain something that doesn't match up well with the Chiefs. Now, the Bills can say the same thing because the Bills have beaten them multiple times in the regular season, but last year in the playoffs and twice overall during this Chiefs run, the Chiefs have beaten Buffalo in the postseason when it mattered. But the Bengals have that feather in their cap that they went to Arrowhead and won in January. And the Bengals host this game coming up on Sunday. It's a late kick, 4:25 Eastern time on CBS. And the Chiefs are only a 2-point favorite on the road. I think Vegas knows this Bengals team matches up well with the Chiefs. And one of the reasons is they have an offense that can, unlike almost any other team in the AFC, or a rare team in the NFL, might be able to go strike for strike, punch for punch, score for score. With getting Ja'Marr Chase back, it obviously adds a big, big threat to the passing game for the Bengals. But more than that, they've won games without Chase. And Joe Burrow is this ultimate equalizer where his ability, obviously, to keep cool under pressure, but make big throws when it matters and spread the football around, makes the Bengals obviously very dangerous. What also makes them dangerous is they've proven multiple ways they can beat you. They can score 42 points, or they can grind out 20 and beat you like they did to the Titans last weekend. I think this Bengals team, who have only lost once at home so far this season at 7-4, and have rattled off 7 out of 9 since falling 0-2 to begin the season, might end up being just as much of a threat to the AFC as the Bills and the Chiefs. That in the AFC, and, you know, we can toss the Chargers in there maybe, you can toss the Dolphins in there maybe, but there are three teams that to me are a chop above because we've seen them do it in January. And we know they have the experience to, when they're in those big spots, they can rely on the confidence. We've been here before. Chargers can't. Dolphins can't. Jets can if they get to the postseason. There are three teams that can. And the Ravens are obviously in the hunt, but I trust the Ravens much less because that defense is so vulnerable to the big comeback. The Bills have been to the playoffs multiple times and won multiple games there. The Chiefs obviously are the standard, and the Bengals made the run last year. Three playoff wins last season, three of them, and nearly took home the entire thing with the Super Bowl. I trust this Bengals team. I do. Because we're seeing them round into form again now as we head into December of the season. And I think Sunday will be an eye-opener for a lot of the league and a lot of people around the league if the Bengals can pull off this game, because then you would squarely put them in the category of Super Bowl favorites. One of them. Chiefs, Bengals, Bills, and maybe there's still questions about the Bills. I think there's fewer questions today than there were maybe a couple of weeks ago when Josh Allen was playing poorly. But if the Bengals win on Sunday, they might not get home field advantage of the playoffs because the Chiefs are, you know, up there. But it would lessen the margin. The Chiefs are 9-2. The Bengals are 7-4. It would drop that to just one game differential, and the Bengals would have a head-to-head tiebreaker. And it would help out the Bills as well, because the Chiefs would drop to 9-3. The Bills right now are 9-3, and the Bills have the head-to-head tiebreaker. So for those that thought the Chiefs were cruising into another one seed of the AFC, if you lose on Sunday to the Bengals, it changes the calculus of the AFC postseason race. It really does, in a big, big way. And I think that the Bengals, because they have a quarterback that has proven to be so good under pressure in big spots on the road to the playoffs and has now done it without Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Mixon the last couple of weeks, the Bengals are a force to be reckoned with. And Sunday is a fascinating game because the Chiefs got to go to Cincy versus what happened last year in the AFC Championship game when the Bengals have already proven they can win at Arrowhead. And the way that they won that AFC Championship game, they just hung around. They just refused to go away. They were pesky. And when the fourth quarter came, they made some plays. They got it to OT. They stopped Patrick Mahomes. They had kind of perplexed Mahomes in the second half of that game and then into OT. And you saw frustration for Mahomes in playing in that game once he got to the final couple of possessions. I'll tell you this, and this is funny. If the Bengals beat the Chiefs on Sunday, that would be the team the Chiefs would not want to see in January, because then they'd have two up in the head. They'd have two times in the head where the Bengals had their number, whereas I think the opposite happens for the Bills and the Chiefs. Even though the Bills have beaten them in the regular season, you get to January, and I think it's the Bills that are like, uh-oh, the Chiefs are in our heads. Flip would happen for the Bengals. They would have the mental advantage, I think, over the Chiefs saying, man, we could beat everybody, but we can't beat this team. Hit me up on Twitter, DA on CBS. That's the Twitter handle, DA on CBS. Mraz, last night, I'm not sure if you were able to catch the entire game last night.
I did.
Okay, so did you stay up because it was so glorious to watch the Patriots get just pounded into the dirt?
I stayed up because I needed six more yards from Stevenson for a same-game parlay hit that I never got.
Oh, no!
That was the only leg I didn't hit, DA, yes.
How many legs was it?
Six legs. I hit five of them.
No!
Yeah, I needed, I guess, whatever he needed. 63.5 was his number on the rushing yard total, and he finished with 54. So whatever that number ends up being, not whatever it is. So that's what I was staying in touch for.
Oh.
Only and leg.
And a six-leg parlay pays well. That would have been Christmas presents for everybody.
Oh, it would have been nice. It would have covered. I actually think I was already thinking about the food I have to supply on Christmas Eve because I'm not going to charge my guests like yesterday's Thunder and News. Uh-huh. So I think it was going to go towards that, DA. Yes.
So
thanks,
that's
Matt Patricia.
That's a bad beat there. But wasn't it amazing to watch the Patriots give up in the fourth quarter, punting when they were down 17, and then not calling timeouts with 2 minutes to play when they had all three of them?
Yeah, I mean, punting midfield. It looked as if a team that knew, hey, we don't have the quarterback to come back and play, which is why I thought, you know, Mac Jones, which we'll get to in soundcheck, exploding was interesting. I feel like there's real disconnect there. I feel like they don't trust their second-year quarterback in a time where he needs to make plays, and the quarterback now is getting aggravated by it. It's sad, D.A. Think about this. It's December 1st. We've seen Justin Fields and the Bears, the Ravens who have blown leads to everybody, and now the Bills, who obviously are a good team. Nobody's scared of playing in Foxborough. Three losses there. It is a weekend resort visit to Aruba now to go to Foxborough.
And if you're a good team like the Ravens, like the Bills, you're so much better than the Patriots. I mean, the Patriots can, you know, they can scheme their way into beating a Colts team with Sam Ehlinger. You know, they can win on a punt return against the Jets when the Jets have basically no quarterback. But in terms of going toe-to-toe against a good team, they don't stand a chance.
No.
They are just totally inferior. And remember last year, everybody saying that Mac Jones is the best quarterback out of that draft, and what a steal, this and that. I mean, I said this last year. I didn't see it. I thought he made a lot of safe throws last year, a lot of underneath checks, and the Patriots beat up on a lot of bad teams the first two-thirds of the season, and then he got completely exposed in the playoffs in Buffalo, and it got exposed down the stretch in December and January of the regular season. But this year, I mean, there's calls for Bailey Zappe coming back,
yeah,
and it's Bailey freaking Zappe. Mac Jones is a pedestrian quarterback at best.
Yeah, and I'll take it a step further. Not only is he a pedestrian quarterback, he's also not exactly helped out because Bill Belichick continues to fail at drafting wide receivers. Who are the weapons on this team? Jacoby Myers and Myers and Myers?
Exactly. That this team, this to me is the best outcome. And I know that you didn't want to see Brady succeed after he left the Patriots, but this to me is the most delicious outcome, is that the moment Brady leaves, the Patriots sink into complete mediocrity. Whereas Brady and the Bucs this year not being very good, obviously, but Brady won a Super Bowl and went back to the playoffs and went, 13-4 last year and threw for 5,000 yards. The Patriots have completely turned into a mess, a puddle of nothing since he left. And now everybody takes their shots at him. They're a terrible offense. Their coordinators stink. The drafting is terrible. I mean, the Patriots and they'll be in this torturous middle ground until Belichick leaves. And that's going to be 7-10, 8-9, 9-8, never terrible enough to bottom out, and never good enough to be anything. And I don't know. Last night was one of those eye-openers like, wow, the Patriots don't even belong in prime time anymore because they're not a good football team.
Yeah, led me right into my next point. They are in the midst of what could be four straight primetime games. The Raider one would get flexed out, I would hope, on December 18th. But enough next year. Enough with the Patriot thing, NFL. We're over it. There are so many more fun, new, exciting teams.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need four straight scheduled weeks of the Patriots in primetime.
Totally. In the AFC now, all games that don't include the Patriots are worthy of primetime. Any Patriots game, don't put them in a standalone. You want to give us Dolphins-Jets? Great. Bills-Dolphins? Awesome. Bills-Jets? We love it. Anything involving the Patriots? Don't want to see it. Not interested. All the other three teams you could put in primetime next year, we'd love it. The Patriots need to sit home, play those 1 o'clock games against nobodies that nobody has to watch because it's terrible. They're the worst watch in football, arguably. I mean, honestly, you can say at least a team like the Texans, they're trying to figure out who their quarterback is, so maybe there's something to watch there. But, I mean, the Patriots are just kind of going through the motions. All right, maybe not the Texans. That's a bad example.
Oh, you know what? You're right. But the second half of the Texans versus the Dolphins, I know Tua wasn't playing, was far more exciting than any brand I saw last night from the Patriots.
Well, that's true. And what was the tie? Was it the Colts game early?
That was week one. The Texans were spunky in September. They're not. I mean, look, it's a stretch to say they're watchable, but I don't know. I mean, at least Pierce can run about decent. They played somewhat, at times, decent defense. It's not a great watch, but the Patriots are just boring, boring, boring.
Yep, they're slop. Right now, they're just boring slop. When we come back here on the show, we've got sound check. So coming up straight ahead is your best audio of the day. It's a Target Demo Friday, so we shall release the Kraken. And speaking of Mac Jones, what was he caught on camera screaming to the coaching staff about? Uh-oh. Trouble in Foxborough. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
All right. Welcome back on this Target Demo Friday, everybody. Thanks so much for joining us. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. As always, you can listen to the show in podcast form. That's right. Want to hear anything that you may have missed? Well, we got you covered. The full 4 hours or the best of the show, all available in podcast form. Simply search The DA Show on your favorite podcast platform. Soundcheck begins with Hugh Freeze as he returns to the SEC and returns to the SEC West, formerly at Ole Miss, now back in the SEC West at Auburn, on his relationship with the Nick Saban, a guy that he beat a couple of times when he was at Ole Miss. Here's Freeze.
I have a great respect for Nick, and he and Miss Terry have been really good friends to us too. But I hope they're a little nervous today.
Oh, hope y'all nervous up there in Tuscaloosa, because we're coming. Now, Mr. Nick and Miss Terry has been real nice. But we're coming. And we hope Miss Terry goes running out of that there kitchen, her hair on fire, when we beat those Crimson Tide 77-0.
Hugh Freeze is so weird. He's so socially awkward. He's so weird. He's in his own little world. I mean, remember, Mraz, when he was coaching for Liberty against Syracuse from a hospital gurney?
Right. Sitting up. Oh, wait, can I move this thing and just elevate myself up just so? Yes. Up in the booth. Unbelievable.
Yeah, he had torn his ACL, I believe, so he couldn't walk on the sideline. And so he was in a hospital bed coaching from the box.
One of the all-time great visual shots.
He is a weird duck, and he's done some weird things in the past. I mean, he definitely called hookers from a university phone. That definitely happened. So he's a bizarre dude. I mean, he's bizarre by SEC standards, which is really bizarre. Like, he makes Les Miles look like an accountant. He is really, really, he's really weird, but certainly makes things interesting,
you know. Uncle Nick and Miss Tare has been real nice to us, but I hope they're scared. I hope they're real scared.
Here's Mac Jones. Last night he was terrible, as was the entire Patriots offense, but on camera, he was caught going to the sidelines. He took off his mask, and it seemed like he was yelling, "The running game bleeping sucks. Throw the bleeping ball," probably in the direction of Matt Patricia calling the plays. Here's Mac.
You playing Mac Jones?
Oh. Obviously, just kind of let my emotions get to me, but, you know, we're kind of playing from behind, and what I said was about throwing it deeper in the short game. You know, I got to execute that part better, but it's the short game that we kept going to, which is working, but I felt like we needed chunk plays, and you know, I shouted that out to kind of get everyone going. And that's emotional. That's football. I'm passionate about this game. And obviously, you don't want to get your emotions, let, you know, get the best of you. But, yeah, I think that's pretty much it. Like, it wasn't directed at anybody, just emotion coming out, and we kind of needed a spark.
That's damage control. And I'm positive this is the way that it went, because I've covered that team before. I know how it works in Foxborough, and this probably is how it works many other NFL places. Cameras caught Mac Jones being a brat. Mac Jones was awful enough last night to where he didn't deserve the benefit of the doubt. There's been conversations had that Mac Jones is difficult to coach or arrogant or whatever. Remember, this was earlier in the year when Bailey Zappi was in and having some success, and the PR team saw that this was caught on camera and he was going to be asked about it. And so they went through damage control. Okay, this is the story here, and this is how you'll answer this, Mac. You're not going to blame anybody. You're not going to be caught offside by this, caught blindsided. You just say, oh, you were talking about the underneath stuff, and you've got to be better, and you're just emotional. Mac, repeat it back to us, and he got coached in that before he took that podium. I can guarantee it. He got coached about that clip, and so he was ready to answer about what we saw. It doesn't change anything. Mac Jones, kind of like what we're seeing with Zach Wilson, might not think he's the problem. Like Kyler Murray doesn't think he's the problem. Sees problems on the field and says, it's the coaching, it's the coaching, it's the coaching. That's Mac Jones. And so Mac's ego, his uncoachability, his delusion that he's good enough. I mean, look, last night, yeah, he got better protection against the Vikings and threw for 380. But Mac's got to be that more often than just once a month or once a season for him to be able to snap at coaches. And there's a building frustration within that staff with Mac and for the players and Mac towards that staff. The Patricia hire's been a disaster. The Patricia hire has been an absolute disaster. Bill can't fix it. His quarterback's not very good. His wide receivers stink. His offensive line is pedestrian. And the Patriots, they can't recover. And you saw that last night. He's a brat. And as bad as whatever is going on, the fact that Mac is yelling, screaming at the coaching staff about play calling, I mean, Mac, look in the mirror. You stink. Finally, here is Celtics head coach Joe Mazzulla. Now, think about how Joe got this job. Joe ended up getting this job because Ime Udoka was caught up in that inter-office affair or whatever, and then was fired, suspended, however you want to define it. So Mazzulla steps into the eve of the season, and you're thinking, man, this is a difficult spot for Mazzulla, who's never been a head coach before in the NBA. And yet the Celtics are fantastic this season. The Celtics right now lead the East with an 18-4 record. They're a dominant 11-1 at TD Garden. They did not lose at home in the month of November. And so Mazzulla, you know what? He's doing a great job. The Royals came by. Was Prince William and Kate Middleton were there the other night?
Yes. Yes, it's Kate. Is that her last name, Middleton? That's the one who was with them.
Yep. Yep. Kate Middleton was there, and they were taken in a nice little Celtics game. And Mazzulla was asked about seeing Prince William and Kate courtside on Wednesday night.
Did you get a chance to meet with the royal family? And if not, how was it like having them there in the building?
Jesus, Mary, and Joseph?
The Prince and Princess of Wales.
Oh, no, I did not. I'm only familiar with one royal family. I don't know too much about that one.
Weird answer.
Very weird answer.
That's weird. I mean, don't you just kind of say like, oh, yeah, it was great to see them at the game and, you know, happy that there's some interest in the Celtics. Do you have to make, do you have to turn this into a religious thing? Is that, do you have to do that?
Very odd.
Yeah. And then like not even taking the bait to laugh a little bit after you make that. Clearly the point was nobody can be royal besides Joseph, Mary, and Jesus. Those are the only royals that not only do I know it, but that I will recognize. I will not even recognize anybody else. But then, like, not laughing afterward to be like, yeah, you know, it's just good that we're getting, you know, nice attention. I hope that they had a good time. Like, that's the only people that I know that are Royals. Move on. Ask me about the defense.
And again, not I'm going to plead ignorance on this. Are Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, they oftentimes referred to as the royal family?
Now, I'm not a hyper-religious person. I have never, though, heard them consider the original royal family.
Me neither. At that point, I've never heard that.
Now, granted, I've only been to church usually on Easter's, Christmases, and the occasional baptism, so or christening. So maybe I haven't been there for this sermon, but yeah, I haven't heard Joseph, Mary, and Jesus known as the original royals.
Yeah, I mean, if he was referencing Ned Yost and his family, maybe.
We can be royals. And that is your sound check. If you are watching at watchda.com or on Twitch or on YouTube, you are seeing quite the sight. Mraz, are you checking this thing out?
Oh, I am all over it right now. Looks like good spacing on the 2x4s. They're doing a good job down there.
Okay, so just to get everybody caught up to date on this. As I've talked about on the show, we're renovating the basement and I am going to move my home studio from the second floor into the basement. And ultimately, when this is done, it should be a nice spot to do the show from occasionally when I do the home show studio stuff. Today happened to be one of those days. Late night game last night. Stayed up to watch it. Bills, Patriots, etc. So we were ready to go today. Cable guys came last week because now we're up to the electrical part of refinishing the basement. And I needed to make sure that the cable line was running to the wall and we had a router going on for when we flip into this basement space, maybe in a month from now when they finally do it. But it's all open right now. It's just 2x4s. It's framed out. The electrical guy is coming to do more stuff today, but it's not even, we don't even have sheetrock or insulation on the walls or anything yet. So the cable guys come last week. They run the new line. There's a new router. And they're like, okay, when you're ready to flip to the basement router working, then let us know, call in, and we'll flip it. Okay, no problem. This was last Wednesday. This morning, get ready as always, dial up, punch it up, we're ready to go, and it's not working. And I'm like, what the hell is going on here? And there is a mad scramble over the final 45 minutes before we get on the air of what is going on. I realize as I run downstairs during the cold open and I plug in the unit, oh my God, they already flipped the boxes. So now my working router box that I would plug into for this wiring is now in the basement. So I've now got to do the show and had to set up a makeshift, basically like a tent in the basement to do the show from. So right now what you're seeing is me in a very cold basement, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, coldest day of the year so far, this morning.
It's cold down here because we have no heat set up yet. We have these kind of electric heaters that'll go on the walls, and they have not been installed until we get the sheetrock and the electrical stuff up. So I've got no heat down here. I've got a boiler next to me that's kicking on. I've got an oil tank as well, and I've got no insulation, no sheetrock, no nothing. So what you're seeing is raw cinder block and framing behind me in what is probably a 56 degree, maybe colder, maybe 48 degree basement down here, and I'm freezing to death. But we're doing the show, and we're working our way through it, and this might have to be one of the 12 DAs of 2023 for us.
It's incredible, and correct me if I'm wrong here, but normally you would have seen this problem, but you were on the road, right? You did the show, the Sunday Morning Football, from a different location, right? That's why it was unaware after last week's flip?
Exactly right. I have not used the home studio since.
Wow.
Since they came in to do it. So I had no idea. And they told me they hadn't done it. They're like, we haven't flipped it yet, so call in when you want it to be flipped a month from now.
Well, I mean, I think this only leaves us with one very important question, DA, as somebody who's gone through a lot of house contracting issues. Are you going spray foam insulation, or are you going with the old cotton as I try to picture what's going between these beams that are behind you?
Yeah, we're
going
to do traditional, the Pink Panther type stuff.
Okay.
Although in the studio space, we'll have something that's more acoustically sound, something that's more soundproof.
I think it's going to come out great. I love the work they've done so far. It's kind of like when we used to get the check-ins on SoFi Stadium and used to see every step of the way how far they had gotten. That's what it feels like. The hard hat on. That's what you need, the hard hat down there. Also, by the way, are they showing up like at 9 to start working? Are they going to be basically putting up walls during the last hour of the show?
The electrician's supposed to come at 8:30 this morning, so about a little less than an hour from now. And I got to tell him, hey, man, you're going to have to work around me this morning because I'm doing the show literally from
the basement. You have him on as a guest.
I could, really.
You get a little segment on how to put up a basement.
Eric the electrician might have to be the guest spot coming up at the 9 o'clock hour.
That is great.
Peter Schwartz is in for Mr. Andrew Bogish today, so Pete's got our headlines. What we got here, Schwartz?
DA will begin with Thursday night football, and if you didn't do it already, you can now officially call the Bills the Road Warriors.
Gun, Allen got the snap, moving to his right, Allen buying time, Allen throwing, end zone, caught, touchdown, Gabe Davis, Josh Allen keeps the play alive.
That was Iron Eagle on Westwood One. Bills beat the Patriots 24-10 in Foxborough for their third win away from home in the last 12 days. Josh Allen throwing for 223 yards and two touchdowns. Head coach Sean McDermott's team came up with a big victory.
Good to get a win. It's a hard place to win against a good football team, well-coached football team. I thought the guys did a really good job of playing complimentary football. Impressed by the leadership, the character of our football team, and the stretch that we have had over the last three games here.
And the Bills improved to 9-3. Patriots linebacker Matthew Judon and company, they dropped to 6-6, but still hopeful of a playoff run.
It's not over yet. It's not over yet, right? We 6-6. We got more games to play, and that's what we're going to do. We're going to go out there, and we're going to play.
Patriots quarterback Mac Jones threw for 195 yards. At a touchdown. Browns quarterback Deshaun Watson makes his return from an 11-game suspension on Sunday, and he will do it against his former team, the Texans, in Houston.
I still have friends and family that's still in Houston. The relationships are still there. People, some of the players on the team, you know, I play with are seeing, you know, come up from, you know, maybe practice squad or from injuries. So, you know, I'm excited to get in front of all those fans. I have so much love for the city of Houston and H-Town, and everyone in that city pretty much knows that. So I'm excited to do that, but, you know, the most important thing is, you know, I'm excited to be in front of the Cleveland Browns fans for sure.
Watson would only answer questions about football.
I understand that you guys have, you know, a lot of questions, but with my legal team and my clinical team, there's only football questions that I can really address at this time.
Clinical team as well. Kickoff Sunday is at 1 o'clock Eastern time. United States back on the pitch. At the World Cup tomorrow morning, they'll meet the Netherlands in the knockout round. American midfielder Christian Pulisic still recovering from a pelvic injury that he suffered in Tuesday's win over Iran, and he addressed that injury yesterday.
I'm going to go meet now with the team and the medical staff and make a decision on today. Just kind of see how I'm feeling, taking it day by day right now, but doing everything in my power to be able to be out there on the field on Saturday.
And Pulisic also stressing yesterday that in that incident in the game, he did not get hit where people thought he might have gotten hit. There was only one game in the NBA last night, Pistons over the Mavericks in overtime, 131-125. Upset in college basketball as Utah takes out number 4 Arizona, 81-66. And now, DA, it's time to get stunned.
Yeah!
It doesn't take much to surprise this bouncing baby boy.
This is honestly the most stunned I have ever been on the show to a news.
The DA show is stunned to a news.
What do we got here, Petey?
DA, you've ridden the subways many, many times in New York City.
Yes.
And you know one of the biggest issues with riding the subway is the rats, correct?
Well, I haven't seen a lot of rats on the subway, but you see them
You see them running along the tracks often. They're not up near where the people are, but definitely in the tracks.
Oh, no. Well, a few months ago, I was on the subway, and one whistled right by me on the platform.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah.
Is that, oh, right. Wow. So, like, Tyreek Hill just blew right by you.
Right by. Okay. Whoa. Wow. Definitely wasn't a remote control car. It was definitely something with a big, long tail. But anyway, if you hate rats, you're somewhat bloodthirsty. New York. They're looking for a New Yorker, the city, with excellent communication skills and a general aura of badassery. And they might have an opportunity for a great job that New York City.
Did you say badassery?
That's what I'm looking at the quote in the story. They're looking for someone with a general aura of badassery. New York City Mayor Eric Adams' administration has posted a job listing this week seeking someone to lead the city's long-running battle against rats. The official job title is Director of Rodent Mitigation.
Wow!
Yes.
How much did this pay?
Well, I'm getting to that. Although it was
a city job, so it's got to have a pretty decent pension.
Once people saw this, it was promptly dubbed a different title as Rat Czar. The salary range, I guess this is commensurate with experience, $120,000 to $170,000.
Okay, all right, that's good work.
Wait, do you have any experience with badassery and a general aura of that?
No, I do not. Okay. I guess, are they looking for an exterminate? Somebody with an exterminator experience?
Oh, it's funny that you ask, because the job description is next. The ideal candidate is highly motivated and somewhat bloodthirsty, determined to look at all solutions from various angles, including improving operational efficiency, data collection, technology innovation, trash management, and wholesale slaughter.
Oh, wow.
The posting is whimsical, but the job is daunting. New York City leaders have been trying to control the rodent population for generations with mixed results. Surprise there. Sightings of rats in parks, sidewalks, and other places in the city have recently increased. Does not list the website where you can apply for this job, but I'm sure that is something. You know, it's the holiday season and people looking to make a few extra bucks, that maybe perhaps somebody might be interested in applying for that job.
Forget a few extra bucks. This is a really good paying job. Yeah. You can make between $120 and $170.
Yes.
It requires a college degree, but essentially, the city's been overrun by rats. They're trying all these different things about how long you can keep your trash out on the sidewalk and what to do. And I think probably the pandemic created even more of a problem because there was less people around to kind of scare them away. And so they just kind of kept growing and growing and growing. But this is a real issue. And this is, I would love this job. Now, I don't want to have to like snipe rats all day. I don't want to actually have to like lead them into some boiling vat of chemicals. But I would like to be a problem solver here. That seems fun.
Just
like
trying to. Just don't do what Chicago did in 2019 when they released thousands of feral cats and now they're overrun with cats.
Did that happen?
Yes, that was a real thing. Chicago had this issue. They hired somebody and came up with, you know, they found a bunch of stray cats and they unleashed them on the streets to chase the rats away. And now Chicago is a major cat problem.
Well, what you need is a bunch of feral cats that are fixed. So you need these cats that can hunt them all down. But, I mean, those rats are big. You need big cats that want to kill those rats. Those rats can be equals there. You know, that's...
Yeah.
New York City tried a bunch of different things to try and, you know, solve this rat problem. And one of them I'm reading here in the story is they launched a program to use dry ice to try and suffocate the rats in their hiding spots. I don't want to... See, now, if I had this job, I wouldn't want to kill the rats because, you know, the rats need to live their lives somehow. It's not their fault they're stuck in the New York City subway system. But, I mean, I'm just thinking there's got to be a way to transport these rodents to a safe environment for them and to keep them away from the general public.
And what, you're going to put them on a rat bus and what, send them to the Catskills?
Maybe find, like, a rat nursing home or something like that. Maybe, like, some kind of building where they could all habitate and run freely and just not bother anybody.
Yeah. Put them on a rat bus and send them to the Hamptons. All right. Thank you, Pete.
You
excellent. When we come back here on the show, we've got Gelb's Gambles. We'll see where Zach is placing his coin this weekend with his NFL picks. DA, CBS Sports Radio. It's time for Gelb's Gambles. Here we go.
Please note, the following isn't meant to offend anyone. but Jack Stern can't say Waco, and Zach Elb can't pronounce the name of the professional football team that plays in Tennessee. Back to your regularly scheduled programming.
Damon and Raz, let's be real. We sucked at picking games last week. After our Thanksgiving blunder, I don't know if DA will have a car for me to park at Bob's Bar, or Raz may need to pick up another BetQL shift to keep the lights on for the highly anticipated, often imitated, but never duplicated Memorial Day show, and I might be resigning my position at CBS Sports Radio and taking the sports information director job at Nebraska to make up for our Thanksgiving massacre. To turn a negative into a positive, I did salvage a potential offer in the win column thanks to the Steelers, and that has closed the Mraz lead to 1.5 games with 6 weeks to play. I like making up ground, but I do feel like it was still a missed opportunity, so after our collective horrible week, let's get a little wacky. I'm giving D'Aliens the first ever Jack Stern Waco, Texas parlay this week for my picks. The Dolphins have two players on their roster who played their college ball at Baylor, and Xavier Howard and Kalen Barnes. So give me the Finns plus the 4 points against the 49ers. Next up, James Lynch of the Vikings and Denzel Mims of the Jets both played their college ball in Jack Stern's favorite city of Waco under former Baylor coach Matt Rhule. Being an avid Rhule fan, I watched a lot of Mims and Lynch, and I think James is the better player, so give me Minnesota laying the 3 points. And finally, did you know that Jack Stern has a cousin who coaches for the Ravens? Okay, I don't know if they're actually related, but Daniel Stern is an offensive assistant for the Ravens who kind of does look like Jack and advises Coach Harbaugh when to challenge and take timeouts. Maybe Daniel could also advise Jack on how to properly say Waco instead of Waco and take the burden off Bogus's shoulders of being Jack's mentor. Regardless, I'll advise D'Aliens to take advisor Daniel Stern's Ravens -8 against Mr. Unlimited and the Denver Broncos. So once again, Vikings -3, Ravens -8, and the Dolphins +4. Damon and Raz, you both have a great weekend, and all D'Aliens, enjoy the games.
Oh, man! Gelb! Oh, my goodness! Opened up the fire hose! Just sprayed away.
That was the best one. Take that, Dixieland Dan.
Woo. Man. Dude's not even on the show catching shrapnel from Gelb's gambles. By the way, now just a game and a half back of Mraz because Raz went 0-3 and Gelb went 1-2 last week. When we come back here on the show, did Patrick Peterson back off of his Kyler Murray criticism?
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.